Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to the Traversing the Stars podcast. How are my loyal listeners? Thank you for your continued support. And remember to click that subscribe button, everybody. We have an amazing show for y'all, because boring the mothership is Michael Learned. You know her as Olivia Walton on The Waltons. Chanel stars in Dahmer on Netflix. Now come aboard as we go traversing the stars.
Hello, Miss Learned. Thank you so much for coming to Traversing the Stars podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Totally my pleasure. You are a legend in television, and it's been an honor to talk with you.
You know you're old when you're a legend or an icon.
That's true, but they're both.
And I am.
But both are proof of fantastic careers, aren't they?
Nice. Yeah. It's...
So I read that you learned the craft of acting from performing in Shakespeare festivals. How did this help you hone your craft?
Well, I actually learned. I went to an arts educational school in London, in England. So that's where I studied acting and dance. And I did a lot of the, you know, when you're apprenticing as a young kid, you're in the crowd scenes at the Shakespeare Festival and all of that. And and then at Stratford, Ontario, Canada, which is a wonderful Shakespeare company. So my ex-husband and I were there a lot. So yeah, Shakespeare is a great love of mine. I'm getting too old now. The only parts for women, older women, are like Nurse in Romeo and Juliet and Lumnia in Coriolanus and some of those old matriarchal parts.
Well, the Nurse in Romeo and Juliet, though, has a great part, though. She's the humor and everything. She's fantastic.
It's a wonderful part, yeah.
Mm. Which Shakespearean plays have you had the opportunity to perform in?
Oh, my goodness. I can't remember back that far. Love's Labour's Lost and Coriolanus with Paul Scofield. That was I played his wife and I was in awe. I could hardly speak. The first couple of rehearsals, all I did was sort of fidget at the side of my dress and stand on the sides of my feet until I got scolded by and I couldn't speak. And so the director, Michael Langham, scolded me and sent me to Iris Warren, who is a famous voice coach. And she said, "You have the best voice in the whole company," but I was just so shy, I couldn't say. But he was charming to work with and kind, and he made me feel comfortable.
So how did you break out of that shyness?
I think all actors are shy. We're very self-conscious because we're sort of egotistical, I guess. You know, I mean, that's the flip side of it, is we're self-obsessed and self-absorbed. And I think somehow working helped, you know, and being older. I'm not so shy anymore. I really am just happy to be part of the human race. And I'm just who I am. I'm not hiding anything anymore. You know, when you're young, you just want to be perfect and everything.
Well, it's got to be something
like love.
Well, I said the wisdom of experience, right?
Yeah, maybe. Self-acceptance, maybe.
Mm. Is that from performing, or that just comes naturally with living your life?
I think it comes from living your life, really, and accepting that you're not perfect. You know, so many of us, especially women, I think we want to be perfect. We want to be the perfect wife, the perfect mother, the perfect sister, the perfect aunt, all of that. And when you can give that up, thank God, you know, it's such a relief. Here I am, warts and all, you know. Love me or leave me.
Well, like I said, when your best known roles was as Olivia Walton in The Waltons, are you surprised by how well-remembered the series has become?
Kind of, yeah. I was just talking about that earlier today. That I don't think any of us thought it was going to run at all.
Really?
And we used to laugh about the name. We thought The Waltons was the corniest name. And I think I thought it was just going to be a nice little thing on my resume. And we were shocked, actually, and thrilled. Thrilled. I mean, it's really, it's wonderful to be in a hit show, and it was.
Mm. So, in your opinion, why do you think it lasted or has survived so well?
The show?
Yeah.
For me.
the show.
The show, I think, because it's about family. Everybody can relate to family, and people are struggling financially today as well. You know, it's not all a bed of roses for a lot of people in this country and the world. So I went to Bangladesh for Save the Children years ago, and I couldn't believe that people had seen the show and related to it. But of course, they related to the poverty and the, you know, the angst of where's our next meal going to come from and all of that. So, and family mostly. So it, that was a really heartwarming experience for me.
Do you think the show could have been made nowadays, or do you think it was a the era was what allowed it to be successful?
You know, I don't think it was, anybody thought it should have been made back then. So who knows? Who knows? I mean, people are watching it today. I get nice, you know, fan letters from people who are watching it now. I don't know that it would have gotten on the air today, to tell you the truth. I'm not sure, but but I'm glad it got on when it did, because it was turned my life around. It really did.
I think it's interesting that when you're saying that you didn't think the show was going to even make it the season, what was against it? I mean, for not for the show, but for as behind the scenes.
Well, because it was really about decent people, and it was an hour show, and sitcoms are, you know, more popular, and we were opposite Flip Wilson, who was, you know, huge at that time, and we thought, we're never going to be able to flip, if you will. That's pretty good, Michael. So I think we just thought it was a nice show, and weren't we lucky that we're working and blah blah blah, but we didn't think for a minute that it would go the way it did. And I think what kept it alive were the critics loved the show.
And the fan mail that you're getting, like, what tends to be what they're praising you about the most?
Mostly about the show. It's not so much personal, but a lot of people write and say, I wish you had been my mother. I mean, those touch me, you know, and make me feel sad. And a lot of them say, you were just like my mother or my grandmother or my auntie or whatever. I don't think I've ever gotten a nasty letter.
That's nice.
Still friends with some of the, there's a young friend of mine who started writing to me when she was 13, and we're still friends today.
That's awesome.
Her name is Holly. I won't give you her last name.
I totally understand that.
So we're good friends.
That's fantastic. It's great to have that kind of relationship with your fan base, because a lot of celebrities tend to, I feel like, take their fan base for granted. It's very interesting to talk to a celebrity who doesn't take their audience for granted.
Well, I'm also very lucky, because most of my fans are nice people. I mean, you know, they're not trying to rip my clothes off my back and pull my hair out of my head. So,
unfortunately,
it's usually a pleasant experience. The only time I've had an unpleasant experience was with a couple of big time celebrities in an elevator, and they started making horrible remarks about the show, as if they didn't know I was there, or I didn't know. I don't know. It was hurtful, actually, but I won't mention names.
Oddly enough,
they were in the business, you know.
Really? They're being intentionally jerks? I mean, it was like a jealousy
thing? I think so. Yeah, I think so. And I called them on it.
Yeah.
Don't usually do, but I said, wasn't really a very pleasant elevator ride for me. Thank you very much.
I wouldn't have thought so. Do you remember what you said?
Just that.
Oh, okay.
It hasn't been a very pleasant elevator ride for me. Thank you so much.
Well, and one interesting thing is, like I said, you played Olivia Walton and you became famous as this beloved mother figure, which once again is kind of etched in everyone's memory of you is as this motherly figure. So was that a hard image to break out of for future roles?
Well, the hard part was the niceness to break out of. Sometimes being nice is a little boring, and it was because I was playing a nice woman, a good woman, if you will, and so I was always being offered parts, being a nun or a nurse. I did a series called Nurse, somehow nurturing, and sometimes being evil is more fun to play. You get to reveal your dark side and get paid for it.
So, because I mean, a lot of actors talk about being stuck in a perception. So somebody who has broken out of it. So what advice do you have for actors who are trying to diversify their roles the way you have?
Just keep showing up, I guess, you know, show up for auditions. And I mean, I did an audition for Ryan Murphy, Jeffrey Dahmer story. I'm how old am I? I mean, I'm way old. I'm not going to reveal my age, although I don't hide it. You know, still auditioning, you know, you go, really? You don't know that I can act yet? But thankfully I did. You humble yourself and you do it and you do the best you can. And you get lucky sometimes and get a wonderful role.
Well, one role that I read that you're currently doing, you're playing Lee in Second Acts.
Oh, yeah. That's a little independent film that Jerry Pass produced. And that was a lot of fun with John Wesley. It's a love story, and it's nice to do a love story about people our age.
Was that why the film was important for you to do?
Well, yeah, and it's work. I mean, whenever I can work, I'm happy. I don't care if I have to play a serial killer. I just want to work.
That'd be a fun role to see you in.
Well, maybe. Yeah, arsenic and old lace. Yeah.
So how did you get involved in Second Acts?
Well, Jerry Pass is my manager. He's also a producer. And he asked me to do it. And I said, of course. And it was really a lovely, easy shoot and lovely, lovely. John Wesley's no longer with us, but he was wonderful to work with.
So my understanding of the movie is that it plays out over the course of one evening. Is that correct?
I don't know. I really know, to tell you the truth.
So when you're doing the performance, how did you develop your performance over the course of the film to kind of give your character depth?
I don't really know. I'm a reactor. I react to what's given to me.
Yeah.
And where the craft comes in is when somebody's not giving you anything and then you have to sort of create it. But when you're lucky enough to work with generous actors, it's easy. You still have to know what you're doing. You still have to do the research and whatever you have to do for any given role. But I was lucky. John Wesley was a very generous actor. And the show I've just done with Peter Evans, he's also a very generous actor. So that makes it all, you just get into the bubble.
So when you're thinking, when you were kind of developing the character of Lee for yourself and how you want to perform her, what insights did you have into the character that you kind of honed in on?
Just being an independent woman of a certain age and the ability to fall in love again at any age, you know, and it was just a lovely, sweet, kind of nice role.
It's great. I mean, like, as you mentioned, there's not a lot of roles that show romances with older people. Did that change the story a little bit? Like having more experience in love and having more experience with these characters as romantic individuals, did that add a new layer to that kind of romance story?
What a good question. That's a good question. I'll have to think about that. Well, luckily I didn't have to strip. At my age, the children would run screaming into the night. But so it was very tasteful, I thought. And just to show the world or anybody who watches the film, I don't know how many people have seen it, but that life doesn't stop just because you're old until it stops for good.
You know, I really think that's a fantastic message, because I think like right now when I teach kids, they always seem to ignore those who are older. You know, oh, you're old, you don't know the hell you're talking about. I think it's great that there's a film that kind of says, no, you're still a person, you're still, you know, you got emotions, you got feelings, you got a life, you can start.
You have your loves and your hates and all of it. There's that little child is still in there. I see her. I see little Mikey all curled up in there in her party dress with her little underpants showing and her pet. And every now and then I just say, it's okay. It's okay. I'm feeling particularly childish.
Well, that's fantastic, though. I mean, I think it's positive, the idea that no matter how old you get, you're still the kid still. I mean, at my age, I'm in my 40s. I hate to think that I'm going to outgrow my kid.
No, you won't. My kids still enjoy being with me, and I adore them. So we have fun together. They were just here yesterday for lunch.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Not all of them, unfortunately, because they live, you know, in different states. But, you know, I my grandson lives with us, which is wonderful because that means young people are around, and that keeps you young when you're, you know, and I don't interfere with them, but I love to hear them laughing and talking and doing whatever they're doing downstairs or outside. It's great.
So for Second Acts, where could our listeners find it? I mean, is it in theaters? Is it on streaming services?
I think it's on Amazon Prime.
Amazon.
And maybe YouTube. I'm not sure. Jerry Pass would know. There for
I'll look it up and we'll put it in the notes.
Okay, thank you.
No worries. Absolutely no worries. So you also recently appeared in Dahmer as Catherine Dahmer. So how did you get involved with Dahmer?
I auditioned for it, which is, you know, what I said is very humbling after, you know, all these years. But, and I don't think I got it for my acting, I think, because I hadn't realized they asked for a full length shot from top to bottom, which I wasn't ready for. And at the end of it, I, without thinking Jerry would keep it in, I just went, if I'd known you were doing that, I would have worn a bra and I hoisted my boobies up. And Jerry kept it in. I think it cracked everybody up, and I'm grateful because that's probably what nailed it for me.
So they're still doing virtual auditions, or was this during COVID?
Yeah, they're doing, I guess, and I just hate it. I'm not so good at it, you know, because you're just... you're in your study or wherever you are trying to generate somebody who isn't there. I'm better one-to-one with another actor.
So when you're doing those video auditions, I mean, how do you get yourself then mentally ready to do something like that?
It's like sometimes you just have to hold your nose and jump, you know? It's... because you don't really know what they're looking for. You're just kind of trying to guess what is it they want. And then you have to finally say to yourself, well, this is what I got. This is what I have to offer. And you either like it or you don't. And sometimes you get lucky and they like it.
So did you know you're auditioning for Dahmer?
I did, yeah.
So what did you think about, like, what interested you about doing something like Dahmer? Because once again, Dahmer is one of the most infamous serial killers. So how did you, what interested you about playing Catherine?
First of all, it was a job, number one. And number two, you know, we don't write very well for older people in this country, older women, especially. In England, they write saucy, funny, eccentric characters for Maggie Smith and Judi Dench and all those wonderful actresses. But in this country, we're such a young country that we worship youth, and we don't really feel, we sometimes feel older people are garbage, throw them away. Who's interested? And so to have somebody write a nice part for a woman my age was, of course, I thought I was doing a character role. I didn't realize that I am that age.
Yeah.
But it was really wonderful, and I think he did a marvelous job. He gave me some stuff to work with.
Now, I mean, as our listeners know, Catherine Dahmer is a real person. She was the grandmother of Jeffrey Dahmer, the infant Jeffrey Dahmer. So knowing that she's a real person, or was a real person, I'm pretty sure she's dead by now, that she was a real person, did you research, how did you prepare for the role? Did you conduct research? Did you try to emulate her or do like your version of what you think she would have been like?
Yeah, in my imagination. I know I have family that live in the Midwest, and so I hear the accent, and that was a challenge. But luckily, as I say, I have family who speak with the Midwest accent, and it wasn't a stretch for me, really. It was easy to love Evan Peters. He's such a lovable guy. And the scenes that we had together, he was so sweet and charming. And he's such a nice guy in person. It was kind of easy. And I think of my grandson who's living with us, who's gorgeous and handsome and fun and marvelous. And what would I do if I suddenly discovered, oh my God, he's got a hand under his bed. It's not attached to a person or something. But she, what I tried to think about was how powerful denial is in our lives. And she just didn't want to know. She did not want to know. So that was kind of the approach I took.
Do you think, I mean, from what you understood, do you think Catherine did know what was happening and just, as you said, was in denial? Or do you think she was just that oblivious to what her son or grandson was doing?
Kind of oblivious, I think, which is a form of denial if somebody's hauling body parts through your kitchen in a plastic bag, you know?
Yeah.
At least the way they wrote it. I mean, I don't know what really happened. I saw a lot of, I did research, but there wasn't much about her. There were photos of her, like home movies, walking around, and but there wasn't much about her as a person. But I listened to a lot of his interviews. He was chilling, really. Very good looking, very detached from what he was talking about, which was killing people.
Yeah.
Young boys, vulnerable young kids, as if it was nothing, as if he was cutting up paper dolls, you know.
So when you're playing, once again, alongside, you said, Evan Peters, who played Jeffrey Dahmer, I mean, by all indications in the history, when you look up the information about the Jeffrey Dahmer killings, Catherine seemed to have genuinely loved her grandson. And it seemed that Jeffrey Dahmer legitimately loved her, which was interesting considering his personality. So knowing as the actor what Dahmer was that you're playing against, is a difficult emotion to create that sense of love, considering that you also know who he's playing and what the character really is doing. Is that still hard to try to, like, you know what I'm saying, find that balance?
I didn't think about what he had done or anything when we were shooting. I just was with Evan, and Evan was such a warm, giving actor that it was just easy to love him. And I remember my son Luke, when he was a little boy, maybe 8 or 9, he said, "Mom, if I killed somebody, would you turn me in?" And I'm going, "Oh, holy God, what do I say to this?" You know, I had to think about it, and I said, "Lucas, I would turn you in. Yes, if you were killing people, I would turn you in. But I'd come and visit you every single day." And that was the only way I could think of to handle that question, which is a deep question from a child. You know, it's, how much do you love me, Mom? Do you love me enough to love me even if I kill somebody? And so I think she loved him probably even after there are photographs of her at the hearing where he was, you know, in court. Do you stop loving somebody because, I don't know.
Well, I think you answered that very well. I mean, it seems like a very rational approach. The idea of, I mean, I'd turn you in because, I mean, you got to.
Can't let somebody go around killing, no.
So. But the fact that you never would have, you know, you continue to visit, I think it sounds like a very rational way to handle something that most of us would find extremely irrational in the situation.
It was a difficult. It's difficult. And I don't know how people come to terms with it, because I'm sure his grandmother didn't stop loving him just like that. I'm sure she didn't approve of what he did, but you don't stop loving somebody.
I mean, do you think she believed he was innocent still, or even after he was found guilty, or do you think she eventually accepted what he was?
How can you accept it? I doubt she ever accepted it, but she probably didn't stop loving him. How can you accept? You can't accept it. I mean, maybe denial, maybe she didn't let herself think about it. A lot of people are good at that. I wish I were better at it. But she may have just been able to just, I don't want to think about it, so I won't. Some people can do that.
So, I mean, the interesting thing about Dahmer is, like, once again, considering what he did, he is forever infamous. I mean, people years later still talk about him. We've still got, there's a documentary on him. There's the Dahmer TV show on him. Why do you think people are so fascinated by him?
I think we're We're a rough country, really. And we're a country, we're in our adolescence, I think, as a country. We're fighters. And we all, everybody has a dark side. You know, hopefully we're not all killers. But, and I also think there's a little bit of a thank God I survived it, or thank God I'm not there, or thank God I wasn't Jeffrey Dahmer's real grandmother, or thank God I wasn't Jeffrey Dahmer, you know. If you watch any of his interviews, it's fascinating because he really does. He's so detached from what he did that he talks as if he's really trying to figure it out himself. It's interesting.
Tell me, do you think he was they didn't understand himself either?
I think, yeah. He said at one point, I don't know, there must have been some part of my brain that's just wired wrong. It was like he was trying to, I don't know why I did it. That's a good question. You know, that kind of thing. But he's totally detached from the fact that he was actually chopping people up and eating them. Really?
I think the part that surprised me the most is someone who can do that, but still has this affection for his grandmother. That's such an odd, like, you know, the thing of someone who can still have the ability to feel affection, and but still same time can kill a bunch of people.
Well, I think Peter Evans managed to hit that kind of. You weren't quite sure. I played as his grandmother in Denial, so for me, I was completely taken in by my grandson. But Peter was clever enough. He's a wonderful actor. Underestimate how many people know his name. I think he's coming into his own now, but he's played huge roles and always well, good and bad. He played Charlie Manson, and he's an actor, and he's just right there with you. And it was easy to love him. And he was charming and genuine, and grandma this and grandma that. And I didn't see him as a serial killer when we did our scenes together. I saw him as my grandson.
Did you guys rehearse a lot before the scenes, or was it just in the moment?
Mostly in the moment. You know, you get a couple of run-throughs for the crew. And then you shoot it and hope for the best. I had a rough day. One day I had a really rough day. I think it's because I hadn't been on a set for a long time. And I was just so happy to be back on a set. And my brain totally left my head. And I had to go home, and it was mortifying. I've never had that happen in my life. And from that time on, I was fine. But I was surprised at how happy I was to be back on the set.
It must have been, I mean, the Dahmer is getting such great reviews, and people are, it's one of those shows that people are now talking about all over social media. So how does that feel? Like, did you know you were doing something that was going to grab the attention of culture?
No, I didn't. I absolutely didn't. I knew it was a Ryan Murphy show, and I think he's a genius, and I wanted to work for him. I didn't know Peter at that time. And now I'm just so grateful that we did work together, because he's just a sweetheart. But and it was work. I love to work. And whether it's theater or television, I'm still working at 83. So good for me.
Is it weird that that there's a whole generation now that instead of knowing you as Olivia Walton, now knows you as Catherine Dahmer?
It's so weird. I get more attention now than I did ever during the Waltons, or Nurse. At least Nurse, I was playing me pretty much. Nobody ever came up and said a word. But now with the white wig and the glasses and the schmack, I thought, well, nobody's going to recognize. People are coming up right and left. But God, we're such a sick culture. We love all those horror stories. But people have been very sweet about it.
Yeah, as long as they're referring to you as Michael and not Catherine, that's probably the best thing.
Well, maybe that's sweet. Thank you.
So where can our listeners find Dahmer?
On Netflix.
On Netflix?
Yeah.
And I will tell the listeners, it is a fantastic story. It's chilling. It's a very chilling.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I don't know, it makes you uncomfortable watching it on some level.
Well, it should. I mean, you shouldn't be too comfortable watching a serial killer go after young, vulnerable boys, you know? But he manages, I think, I mean, I don't know. I haven't watched some of the earlier ones because I'm not into that kind of thing. I don't like normally do I. I'll watch it later. But Evan somehow manages to make him likable. I don't know how you do that, but he does. I mean,
hopefully not too likable.
No, I mean, I'm constantly amazed at, I've worked in prisons, you know, I've gone to prisons to talk, and, you know, you sit next to this guy that's killed his grandparents or his brothers or sisters or whatever, and, you know, they're just so likable. You wouldn't, if you got on a train with them, you wouldn't think, oh, I'm sitting next to a serial killer. But they're there.
I assume that's how he lured them to his apartment, you know, after all that anyway.
That's why it's so chilling, I think, yeah. We took in a young boy when, in a former life, my life, and his mother was a nun. And I just thought he was a kid that really didn't have any place to go. So, and I was in a theater company. This was before television. And his name was Michael. And I eventually learned that his mother was an ex-nun who was burning him with her cigarettes.
Ooh.
He had little scars all over his body. And he lived with us for a while. And I was with him when he died. He died of AIDS years later. But, you know, it's hard to believe that people can do that to a child. Your own child, let alone your own child, let alone any child. But poor Michael.
Well, I mean, I do hope when people are watching Dahmer, they're viewing it as, you know, something to learn from, you know, not as the negative side, but in the positive, you know, because like I said, a lot of what happened, you feel like could have been avoided in certain, you know, there's more attention paid to what was going on in certain situations. The police have paid more attention, stuff like that.
Yes, you have to be careful. I mean, I have three sons, and we were working in the theater, and we had to be really careful. One of my sons, we realized a scoutmaster was hitting on him, and that was the end of his scouting. But
yeah,
luckily, he recognized what was happening, and he came home, and we went out, we called the cops, but you know, kids are vulnerable, and you have to let them know that they're important and that they can be heard, I think. You know?
Do you think there was a possibility that Dahmer could have been prevented from doing all that he did? I mean, was he destined to be this thing, or do you think there's a point in time where if someone had approached or something had happened, it could have been avoided?
Well, he said himself, he said, I mean, I look at him and I think, his father was a loving, doting dad. His mother was a drug addict taking pills. They got a divorce. But how many kids have been through a mother taking pills and parents getting divorced? And they don't turn out to be serial killers. Mm-hmm. But Jeffrey Dahmer himself said, I think there was something wrong with the wiring in my brain. So you have to think, I don't know. I don't know why some people who are horribly abused grow up to be Mother Teresa. I bet if you go back and examine her childhood, I bet it wasn't perfect. So somewhere in there, there's got to be a choice. But who knows? Who knows? Nobody really knows. I just can't imagine it. I can't imagine killing anybody or hurting anybody consciously. But there's some part of, he said, there's some part of my brain that is not working. So he seemed very tuned into what was wrong with him. So they have to be removed, these people, you know? Take them away and put them on a desert island somewhere. Give them water and food, but that's it.
Well,
I can't allow myself to have compassion for that kind of cannibalism that he did.
Well, I mean, it would have been nice if the help could have come much sooner, but back in the day, I don't think people paid it. You know, you didn't have like school therapists and all this other stuff as people paid attention to when things were going wrong. of yeah. today.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think nobody really heard him except the next door neighbor who eventually called the cops. The cops weren't interested. They didn't care. Like Michael Ramirez. Nobody cared about him except Peter and I did and some members of the company. But most, he was just kind of tossed around. It was awful.
Hmm.
And then sometimes kids don't want to be helped. You know, sometimes they just, it's like they're on a path and they don't want to be taken off the path that they've chosen. So who knows? I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't really know what makes people tick, but I'm glad I never had to kill anybody. I feel like it sometimes.
It'd be horrible to be killed by Olivia Walton.
No, I wouldn't want to do that to her.
Well, Miss Lauren, it was a great pleasure to talk with you and an honor. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Ditto.
Have a great night.
Thanks. You too. Where are you?
I'm actually out of Rhode Island.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Okay. Back east where I'm from. Yeah.
Yes. We just suddenly got very, very cold very, very quickly.
Oh, did it? Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, I went from having the AC on to like a week later, I feel a need. I might have to be putting on the fire.
Oh, nice. I like that. At first, and then it gets old.